So I've been talking about the things of the Spirit. I'm trying to come up with a better definition or description than that, but for now, well, that's what we'll use, the things of the Spirit. Last week, I think it was last week. Anyway, I started talking about prophecy and then when the Lord told me to do that, there was something attached to it where it's more than that. And he's had me here before. I think about a year ago, I was talking about some of these same things. But it's strong in my spirit. I believe we have to get an understanding of the spiritual realm so that we can walk there more than we walk in the natural. That can be confusing because obviously we have to walk in the natural or we wouldn't have got here this morning. We've got to be able to function on this earth in order to do anything. But while we're doing that, simultaneously, we are functioning in the realm of the Spirit. And whether you are aware of it or not, that realm is always around us and there's always something happening in that realm, and we have an opportunity to be able to walk simultaneously in the Spirit and in the natural. So let's begin with a simple verse here, and we'll see where it takes us. This is in Proverbs chapter 20. Verse 27 says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." Today we might say, the spirit of man is the flashlight of the Lord, the light bulb of the Lord. At that time, of course, they didn't have light bulbs, so it's the candle of the Lord. It's a curious thing to me because this was written in the Old Testament. It was written among spiritually dead men that had not been born again. Their spirit had not been lit. So how can the spirit of man be the light bulb of the Lord? But you see, dead or alive, born again or still in darkness, the spirit of man, man has a spirit whether you're born again or not. And man will live for eternity whether he's born again or not. And so the inner man is the place in which God speaks. It's the place in which God reveals himself unto us. And even under the Old Testament, even an unregenerated man was able to function in the spirit realm. And it was a little bothersome to me because I thought, well, wait a minute. These people, they're not born again. They don't have a new nature in them. But see, God dealt with the Old Testament people in a different way than he deals with us today. And so oftentimes you'll see spectacular things under the Old Testament, things that you could see with your eyes and hear with your ears and things that were amazing and signs and wonders. God still does signs and wonders, but he often had to communicate to man of who he was that way, but yet he still brought men into the realm of the Spirit. Let's look at Ezekiel. I just thought it was amazing. Stacy was singing that this morning because that's exactly where we're going to go. It's not going to be our subject, but it's where we're going. Ezekiel chapter 37. Verse 1, it says, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' So I answered, 'O God, you know.'" So Ezekiel had not been born again. Ezekiel was before the cross. He hadn't been given a new nature. He didn't have a born again spirit within him. And yet this says that he was brought out in the spirit. But you notice it says he was brought out in the Spirit of the Lord. See, the Holy Spirit had to do this work. He couldn't do it without him because he had not yet been born again. So, but the Holy Spirit somehow was able to work with an unborn again man and bring him into the spirit realm. But under the new covenant, we have a new born again spirit. And within us, we've been brought, we've passed from death to life. And so now, we don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit to come and bring us into the spirit realm, but we can walk there on a regular basis because now He dwells with us. Where He didn't dwell with Ezekiel, He didn't dwell with the kings, He didn't dwell with the prophets, but yet He came upon the prophets in the Old Testament to bring them into the realm of the Spirit. Today, this is why it's so important that we understand we have a new and better covenant. That's why it's so important to understand that we stand in a different place with God than the Old Testament saints did. There are some people in the church, they're still trying to serve God the way the old man did. They're still trying to serve God under the old covenant and under the law and doing things according to the letter of the law when we're called to walk in the spirit of the law. We're called to walk in a different realm than this earth is. If we look at the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, that was the beginning of a brand new era. It was the beginning of something this earth had never seen before. And men now could step out of this bondage that they were in, this realm of the Spirit, and they could step in, this realm of the flesh rather, and step into the realm of the Spirit. Never before had it been seen. And somehow, through the years, because I believe, I don't believe God wanted to just pour out this revival in Jerusalem or wherever and go, okay, there you go. There's a demonstration. Here's a splash for you to see this is really what the church is. And there's people in the church today that believe the whole purpose of the apostles was just to demonstrate that, you know, the Holy Spirit had come. And once they were gone, those types of things were no longer needed. But there's no scripture to reference that at all. There's nothing that gives us that indication. So I believe this was the start of a new era. This was the beginning of something that God wanted to do and continue on for eternity. He wanted to set the world on fire. And yet somehow, we were able to go into darkness, and it was like now born again, spirit-filled men, through a work of Satan, in my opinion, we were pushed into the dark ages. No longer was it necessary for man to understand the Word of God. I understand there was not a lot of education then anyway, but I mean, we put it all on the priest or on men who would study the word in darkness and hide out and never share it with another person. It's almost like the church was born again. We came out of that darkness and there was a new revelation that came that said, no, perhaps, see, I'm not a great historian, but I'll share. Martin Luther had this revelation. And with fear and trembling, he said, you know, perhaps, is it possible that this is by grace that we're saved? And once again, the Holy Spirit was alive on the earth as people began to grasp a new revelation. And it may not seem like much to us, but at that time, it absolutely changed the direction of the church and allowed us to get closer to where God wanted us to be in the first place. And now, today, we're at a place where we can walk the same way they walked in the book of Acts, the same way the apostles walked, the same way that the believers of that day, the New Testament church, that is us. And we are able to walk into the realm of the Spirit, not because the Holy Spirit's come upon us and dragged us out in there to show us something, but because He's within us and walking with us, and we can on purpose step in there with Him and walk that way. on a daily basis, moment by moment, holding hands with Him, working right alongside Him. He's our helper, but I've said it before, you know, if you're not doing anything, you don't need help. So He's here to, He's come alongside us to help us. But we have to be the ones that are making the effort to walk after the Spirit. If it was automatic, Paul wouldn't tell us over and over again to walk after the Spirit and not the flesh. Because the automatic man wants to walk after the flesh. Once you're born again, a person who served the flesh his whole life, maybe he's well into his 40s or 50s, and he becomes born again. He has been trained in his natural mind how to think, how to function, what to do, what's right, what's wrong. And it's all come from his own carnal thinking. Or if it did come from the Spirit, it was from the dark spirit, unregenerated, unknown by God, didn't know God. And now he's been born again. The moment that he's born again, when he goes out to do that thing which he had done his whole life, that if it was sin, there's something in him that says, don't do that. Why? Because the spirit of man is the flashlight of the Lord. And he's working on the inside of him saying, look, no, he's shining a light on that and going, wait, that right there is not right. Now, he's never known that before. And the problem is, if that man doesn't develop that and realize that that's God speaking to him, he'll say, well, I've done this my whole life. How can it be wrong? And eventually you can sear that conscious. You can kind of become numb to the light that he's shining. But that's not us. We have been trained. We've developed that inner man. We've developed that spirit. We've developed that light bulb to shine brighter and brighter and brighter so that God is able to show us the ways to go. But in order to do it, we must be in the Spirit. And I'm going to do my best to describe that a little bit, because it's just a phrase that I've used and that I've heard, and I have somewhat of an understanding of it, but there's never been much of an explanation. What does it mean to be in the Spirit? Let's look at an example anyway. That was an example in the Old Testament, an example of Ezekiel. He was in the Spirit. And what happened to him is God began to show him things. Well, if he's in the Spirit, then he didn't see the valley with his natural eyes, right? He didn't see the bones with his natural... There was no valley and bones in the natural. This was in the realm of the Spirit. Now, the valley's real, the bones are real, but they're in the realm of the Spirit. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. Thank you, Jesus. We'll start in verse 2. It says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that he might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. So there's a couple things I wanted to emphasize on this passage. And the first thing is this. Paul speaks rather vaguely about this experience that he had. He even calls this a man that he knew, but we know he's talking about himself, and he's saying, whether I was in the body or out of the body, I really don't know. And see, I believe this is an example of a New Testament man in the realm of the Spirit, and he may have physically been in the realm of the Spirit. He doesn't know that for sure. But he had stepped outside of this realm, not just a little bit, not like, I've got my eyes closed and I'm just focusing on Jesus and the presence of God is so nice and all that. That's wonderful. We can have a little experience with the spirit realm, but Paul actually stepped into another realm. And he saw things and he heard things and he experienced things that shook him enough or impacted him enough that he didn't even dare say I was there. He says there was a man that I knew that was there because it was so impactful. It was so glorious. It was so amazing. And I'm not telling you that you can expect those things, but I'm saying that we can expect to see into the realm of the Spirit and experience spiritual things for ourselves. And do you notice he didn't say, you know, the Holy Spirit took me here. He said, I just knew a man, whether I was in the body or not. That's where I was. Now, I'm not saying the Holy Spirit didn't take him there. I'm just saying that he was able to put himself in a place of the Spirit where he was able to be impacted and touched by the Holy Ghost and taken into places that he was not able to go in his natural mind. If he was able to go there, he would have gone, I'm sure, or in his natural body. Now, and also, a person experiencing spiritual things and experiencing things from the realm of the Spirit does not indicate their level of maturity. Because we can see even a person who's not born again was able to step into the realm of the Spirit. But that's not a negative thing. That doesn't mean that, well, he's not anybody just because he went into the realm of the Spirit. That isn't the attitude we should have. The attitude is, no matter where I'm at in Christ, I can walk in the realms of the Spirit. No matter if I was born again yesterday or I've been born again for 20 years, I can know spiritual things. I can understand the realms of the Spirit. I can operate in the realms of the Spirit. I still haven't given you a very good way to get into the Spirit, but I've given you some examples. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. Let's move over to chapter 3. Or back to chapter 3. Pray for me that I can articulate clearly the things of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll start in verse 7. It says, but if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but rather minds were blinded, For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So here, Paul says that the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the law that was given, what he calls the ministration of death, he said even that was so glorious, there was so much glory that the children of Israel couldn't look upon the face of Moses because it glowed so bright. It shined so bright, they couldn't even look at him. And he said that glory pales in comparison to the glory of the new covenant. And he said even today, if you don't know Jesus, even today, those who, even if you're willing to follow Moses, even if you're willing to be Jewish, what we would call Jewish today, without Jesus, there's still a veil over your face. You are not able to have the revelation that is necessary to know who God is and what He wants from you because you have not yet had that veil removed. But we who've been born again, once you've made Jesus, once Christ has come into your life, once He has come up, showed up on the scene, the veil has been removed. And now we look at Him like in a mirror and we can see the image of Christ. We can see what He wants from us. We can see who He is and realize we're being changed from that glory that shone from Moses' face to this new glory that is far beyond anything that we could imagine or even compare to. The only thing that Paul could even come close to was that glory that shone so bright from Moses. We can't imagine what that must have looked like to where people couldn't even look at him. And yet that doesn't even come close to describing the glory that we have today, that we're being changed into that image of Him, Christ, being changed into who He is, as it's written, as He is, so are we in this world. We're being changed into that image. And Christ was able and did and does walk and operate in the realm of the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So we have been set free from the bondages that our own body has put on us. Our own fleshly desires have put on us. See, there's a lot of people walking around today bound up with things they don't have to be bound with anymore. I'm not saying that to be condescending and say, well, you know, you don't need to be smoking any longer. You don't have to. It's easy to say if you're not the one bound. But you see, there are many today that find themselves in situations where it seems there's no way out. And yet, here Paul has told us, we have this glory available to us. We have been changed into this glory. And so, what I have found works better for me, if I find myself in a situation that I can't get out of because of the addiction or influence of my flesh, I begin to focus on the addiction to the Spirit. I begin to focus on the things of God and tell my flesh who I am in Him. Sometimes you've got to prophesy to yourself. Sometimes you've got to tell yourself that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. No, you know why you don't need, and I'm just picking on smoking because it's an easy thing to recognize. You know why you don't need that cigarette flesh? Because I have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And there's nothing else that I need to be righteous. There's nothing else that I need to be better than what I am today. The other reason I mention this is because there was a time in my life when I was addicted to cigarettes, when I smoked cigarettes. And it took me a long time to get free from that. Even though I was young, I hadn't spoke for, you know, my whole life or many, many years, but a few years, it was still an addiction. And there were many a nights that I threw the pack in the trash and thought it was all over with, only to go out and buy another one, or to bum a cigarette off of my friend, or, you know, whatever it might be, or just one won't hurt, you know. And I started to get discouraged, and I wondered, how can this be? I felt guilty about it. I didn't like it. And yet I was still caught in it. So I started preaching to myself. And you know, I would, even while I was smoking a cigarette, I would say, Lord, I thank you that you've set me free from cigarettes. You've set me free from nicotine. Puff, puff, puff. You set me free, Lord. I no longer need this cigarette. And I didn't try in the natural to get rid of it, but I did what I could in the realm of the spirit to say, I no longer need this, until I found myself one day going through a whole day without a cigarette. Because see, what happens is when you, whatever you focus on, that's what you become. Whatever you focus on, that's what gets power in your life. So if you spend your day focusing on the fact that I'm not going to smoke a cigarette, that's the only thing that's going to be built up in you, is that you need a cigarette. It's kind of like fasting. If I decide I'm going to fast today, the moment I say that, I want a cheeseburger. You know, and the more I remind myself that, no, I'm fasting, then the more I desire that food. But when I begin to look at it from the realm of the spirit and I say, my body has been declared dead, and my spirit is life because of righteousness. I'm entering into that life today. I'm entering into the life of the Spirit. And I know who I am, and I know who He has made me to be. And as He is, so am I in this world. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And those other thoughts will come. Yeah, but you're hungry. Yeah, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Brother Hagin would say, you know, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from making a nest in your hair. So when those thoughts come, those thoughts of condemnation, those thoughts of rejection, those thoughts of addiction, whatever it might be, we can combat those with the Word of God. And that's one way we get into the Spirit, because His Word is Spirit and it's truth. And so when we have His Word in us and we've made a place in our heart for it, then we can access that place. And by doing so, we enter into the realm of the Spirit. It's not about feeling goosebumps. It's not about having an experience that makes you feel better. It's about understanding where the realm of the Spirit is and where the realm of the natural is. And we have to use our natural body to receive that information to be able to enter into the realm of the Spirit. So our body is not really the enemy. It's the nature that came from Adam when he sinned. That nature is what we have overcome with the new birth. We're not really trying to put our body to death. We're trying to put the deeds of the body to death, the things that the flesh wants. But the only way we do it is through the realm of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I was looking for this scripture in my notes and it's not there. So we're just going to have to go. We're going to freestyle it. We'll go over here to Galatians. I'm in Ephesians. That doesn't work that well. Praise the Lord. Ephesians is good too, but we're going to go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So this Paul gives us really a command. He says, walk in the Spirit. When we do this, we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Unfortunately, at times I think we say, I need to put my flesh to death. That is true, but that isn't what Paul focused on. He said, walk in the Spirit. Because see, when you walk in the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill the deeds of the flesh. Yes, you do need, yes, your flesh is going to be put to death, but how does that happen? It says, you by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the flesh. So when we focus more on the realm of the Spirit and the things of the Spirit and our spiritual being, we focus more on those things, then we become able to put to death the flesh. And really what happens is we put behind us the things of the flesh because we can't take them into the Spirit. And you're walking after the Spirit. You're walking after the truth of who Christ is, who He's made you, looking in that mirror, the image of Him, and understanding that if I walk the way He walked, my flesh will not be able to have its way in my life. But I'm going to have my way following the Spirit. There's a distinction. I wasn't planning to mention, I'm not going to go there, I'm just going to mention this. Because Alan's been teaching spirit, soul, and body. And there's a distinction between me and my spirit. The Bible does all the time. It says you walk after the Spirit. It doesn't say walk after yourself. It says walk after the Spirit. So there's some part of me that gets to decide. Now, my spirit is the real me, right? My inner man. But yet there's some part of me that gets to decide, am I going to walk after that inner man or am I going to walk after the outer man? And that's what we're doing is we're renewing our mind to think the way the spirit man thinks and not the way the natural man thinks. We're not trying to change our natural mind. We're trying to walk after our spiritual mind so that our natural mind no longer has that authority in our life. No longer gets to dictate to us what we do and don't do. See, Jesus made decisions every day of His life, just like you do. And every day, because the Bible tells us that He was tempted in every way that's common to man, and the Bible does not lie, so you cannot come up with a temptation that Jesus didn't face Himself. And yet, He was able to make a decision to walk after the Spirit instead of after the flesh. So there must have been another way when that temptation came, or else He would have succumbed to the temptation. And so when someone comes up with the excuse, I do those things because that's who I am, that doesn't fly with me, because that's not who you are. You made the decision to do that because you wanted to. Okay, that might have been what you're used to doing. Maybe it's what you've done your whole life. But if it's not godly and it's sin, then you made the decision to do that. And there was an alternative for you. That's the lie that we succumb to, is that, well, what else could I have done? Well, you could have walked after the Spirit. I don't have the answer. But there is an answer in the realm of the Spirit for your situation. You didn't have to hurt that person. You know, whatever the decision that you made to do that is not of God, you didn't have to do it. You did it because it was maybe the easiest way out. Maybe it was the only thing you could think of at the time. Maybe it was, but you did it because you wanted to. See, there are times that I've been pressured to make decisions, and sometimes I've done it, but more recently when I find myself in that situation? And the answer is, you know, or the question is, are you going to do this or not? The answer is, yes, the answer is not. The answer is, if I have to decide right now, no, I'm not doing that. If the Lord hasn't given me the clearance. But my answer is, I'll let you know. And if they say, well, I have to know right this minute, well, then I can't do it. And it may be something wonderful, maybe something that appears to be a life-changing. But when we walk after the Spirit, it means that we make an effort to say, what are you saying today, Holy Ghost? I suppose the best definition or the best explanation of walking in the Spirit is monitoring that channel of the Spirit. And we understand here the way that we do that, or the way that we identify that channel, is by praying in other tongues. And when you spend hours praying in other tongues, then you begin to identify that channel where those tongues originate from, and you can monitor that place within you. I motion to this area of my body as if that's where it's at, but that's not necessarily true. It's just, it comes from somewhere within. Even the Bible says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord searching the inner parts of the belly. It's something within you. And there is that place that you can monitor on a minute-by-minute basis, so that when that decision comes up that is not an automatic decision, you can monitor that place within you, and you can hear the voice of the Lord. You can know what to do. You may not hear a voice, but as we read in Romans, let's look again at Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself, or I think a better translation would say the Spirit Himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, the born-again trail that Pastor Dave taught, he taught us, verse 16 is the first time the Holy Spirit is mentioned. So in these other places, he's talking about your spirit, your inner man. But here he said, the Spirit Himself, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so in that channel where the Holy Spirit communicates to us, He bears witness with us. And sometimes that witness is just a go or a stop. Sometimes it's that real velvety feeling on the inside. I don't always like to talk about it as a feeling, because that's not the important part of it. I want you to get away from looking to feel something. And I want you to learn to recognize that witness. I want you to recognize that there is something on the inside. Now, it may be a feeling, but it's not the physical feeling that we're looking for. We're looking for a spiritual confirmation that this is the right thing or this is the wrong thing. And the Holy Spirit will bear witness with us on those things. So when we're walking after the Spirit, we're walking in accordance to that witness that's on the inside of us, that channel where the Holy Spirit is leading us, where that peace is. Now, you don't have to wonder every day, am I supposed to get up and go to work today? Am I supposed to have breakfast? Do I need to get dressed? You know, obviously these are all things that have been set in motion. But at the same time, when we're doing those things, we have the opportunity to monitor on the inside of us. And it's okay. when you leave your driveway to say, should I turn to the left or the right? I'm not telling you you have to do that, but it's okay. Don't sit there and wait too long for the answer. But if you don't notice anything, you just go, you know? And the reason that I say it's okay, especially when we're learning to flow with Him, when we're developing the ear of the Spirit, it's a good thing. Lord, what would you have me do today? Is there anything that I'm missing? As I go out today, Lord, am I complete? Do I have everything? Did I leave something behind? You know, I believe that we shrug off things at times, not recognizing that it's the Spirit. I don't know how many times I've gotten in my vehicle and I thought, I think I'm forgetting something. I'll be all right. And I go and I don't have it. And then we say, oh, I knew I should know that. But you don't recognize. But what we need to do is acknowledge that and say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing me that next time I won't miss it. And when we acknowledge Him in those things, it amplifies that. Because what happens is we start to really, you know, think more of ourselves and say, oh, I knew that and I should have done that. No, you only knew it because of that witness within you. And you say, well, that may not be true. Well, if you acknowledge it, it'll become true. You acknowledge that God is with you and that God is helping you. Either He's your helper or He's not. And if He's your helper and somehow you knew something was supposed to happen that didn't happen, you can recognize that He was helping you. He's trying to help you. He's trying to get you everything that you need and make sure you're equipped for the day. And sometimes we're not, but we don't have to go around feeling guilty about it. We just say, Lord, I missed it. Forgive me. Help me. He'll still help you. He'll help you another way. But if you shrug it off like it was nothing, then you go throughout the day frustrated. When He had other help for you, He had another way. He's got lots of ways meeting your needs. That's why He showed us so many different times how He did things. Like Pastor Dave used to say, you know, when He fed the 5,000 people, He could have called for a caravan of food to come and feed them all. But no, He took what they had and He multiplied it to them. He's showing them there's multiple ways that God will meet your needs. There's multiple ways that God will help you if you're keen to the realm of the Spirit. If you're willing to listen and walk in that realm and not be distracted by frustration and what we see right now. I can see in the natural that I don't have all that I needed for this day. But I can look into the Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, you're my helper. And you know exactly how I can get through this, even though I made a mistake today. You forgive me and you help me and you walk with me. And in that way, those are very simple, practical things that we can do on a daily basis. Is we can recognize and focus on that inner man, the Spirit within you. Because I believe, as I look around this room, I believe every person in here has been filled with the Holy Spirit. You speak with other tongues. You have that opportunity. I'm going to encourage you again. Spend time praying in other tongues. Spend time. When I say spend time, block off. Just like you blocked off this morning to come to church. It's been on your calendar. For me, it's been on my calendar my whole life. You know, Sunday morning you go to church. And so you don't expect to do something else during that time. You need to do the same thing with your prayer time when you pray in the Holy Ghost. Say, this is the time I'm going to pray in the Holy Spirit. Because if you don't, there's a whole bunch of other things that you can do and you will do if that doesn't become that kind of priority in your life. No, this is my prayer time. You know, my prayer, whatever it might be, from 8 to 9 o'clock in the morning, I pray in the Spirit. From, you know, 4 to 5 o'clock in the morning, I pray in the Spirit. Whatever that time is, that has to be designated for that so that you will be able to identify that channel where the Holy Spirit communicates, because it's the same channel where you access the realm of the Spirit. And there is no other way to do it. You can't do it through the natural. Now, God supernaturally does at times visit people. He does take people into the realm of the Spirit, but I'm talking about on purpose, we can identify and recognize the realm of the Spirit as we continue to develop that channel within us that He speaks. And it becomes more and more prevalent and prominent in our life, then we become more and more aware of it, and then it's easier for us to recognize when He's speaking, recognize when He's giving us a vision or a dream. Even when you have a dream, I know you're sleeping. But for me, if the Lord has given me a dream, I know when I wake up, the only way that I understand that really is in the realm of the Spirit. So I have to monitor that channel in the Spirit. And sometimes it's just a dream, and I go, okay, that was fine. But sometimes it's the Lord showing you something, and He'll explain it to you and interpret it for you, but it's going to be done in the place of the Spirit. So with that, I encourage you, monitor that channel where the Holy Spirit speaks. Monitor that channel where you access the realm of the Spirit and walk after the Spirit. Father, we just thank You for this day. We thank You for the mothers who are here today and even those who aren't here today, Lord. This is a day that we honor them. We thank You for our mothers. But more than that, Lord, we thank You for the Holy Ghost. Thank You that You've given us a helper. And I pray, Father, that as we take a break and prepare for the next service, Lord, that we would be open to the realm of the Spirit, that we would receive from You, that we would be tuned in and cued to the Spirit realm, so that as we come together again, we can recognize what You're saying, what You're doing, and we can walk in the Spirit. So for all that You're doing here today, Lord, we just give You glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.